Welcome to Audio Notes. I'm David Finkel, Artistic Director of Music at Menlo, and it gives me great pleasure to introduce you to the music you'll be hearing at the festival this summer. For Music at Menlo's 13th season, we'll explore, with a more concentrated focus than in any previous summer, the life and work of one of history's most extraordinary musical figures, the Austrian composer Franz Schubert. In addition to ranking among history's most cherished musical voices, Schubert remains one of Western music's most fascinating and confounding figures. The only composer of the Viennese canon native to that city, Schubert represents a bridge from the classical era to the Romantic generation. Born in 1797, 12 years before the death of the father of the classical style, Joseph Haydn, Schubert lived but an ephemeral life. Beethoven, the composer whom he most revered, was 26 years his senior. Their deaths were separated by just 20 months. But what Schubert accomplished in his short life is astonishing. He enjoyed recognition in his lifetime for only a small part of his staggering output, the gradual revelation in the decades after his death of what he had done is unprecedented among the great composers. In addition to his epic contributions to the piano, chamber, and orchestral literature, his oeuvre of more than 600 lieder revolutionized the genre, transforming it into one of the Romantic era's essential art forms. And as illness forced him to confront his mortality before his 30th birthday, Schubert, who once claimed, "I have come into the world for no purpose but to compose," produced a stream of masterpieces unequaled by many composers over entire lifetimes. Nearly two centuries after his death, Schubert's place in the pantheon is secure, but his music continues unceasingly to offer new discoveries and immense rewards. Audio notes are designed to enhance your enjoyment and deepen your appreciation of the music you'll be hearing at the festival. I'll be joined by artistic co-director Wu Han, Audio Notes author and producer Patrick Castillo, and some of this season's festival artists to offer historical and cultural context and a variety of perspectives on this summer's concert programs. Thank you for listening, and we look forward to seeing you at the concerts. Schubert's future may have darkened as he entered his final 2 years, but his creative core burned feverishly as he strove to reach his imagined artistic destiny. The death of Beethoven in 1827 robbed the world of its most famous composer, yet Schubert, who had accompanied Beethoven's coffin to the cemetery, realized that it was indeed he who could fill the void. Schubert's musical compositions now entered the realm of the sublime, hovering magically between elation and grief, comfort and terror, life and death. The first half of Concert Program 5, The Setting Sun, moves seamlessly between solo piano, voice, and violin in an unbroken stream of musical genius. After intermission, we hear how an obscure Swedish folk song provided the ailing composer with the inspiration to write the mightiest piano trio of his time.
Among Schubert's extensive output of music for solo piano are two sets of four works, each labeled impromptus, a genre popular in the 1820s. Music scholar Robert Winter has written, quote, "The compositional freedom afforded by this new genre stimulates some of Schubert's most original creations," unquote. Both sets of impromptus were composed in late 1827.
The impromptus are special, and the titles of impromptu or impromptus are a little confusing or a little misleading in some ways.
Pianist Enon Barnaton.
Schumann actually thought that the first set of impromptus should have been a sonata. He could see the structure of it and the way that it's built, and could very easily be a four-movement sonata. It starts and ends in the same key, and certainly feels like that a little bit when you play it, that you could see it as a set, but yet they exist so beautifully on their own.
Concert Program 5 begins with two of Schubert's impromptus beginning with the first of the second set, D935 in F minor.
The impromptus are somewhere between the very intimate songs and the more large-scale works or sonata movements. They're usually in song form, so you'd get the structure of a song, but they're expanded and their expression is expanded somehow. And there's a great variety in them.
The impromptu in F minor, published posthumously as Opus 142 No. 1, comprises three distinct musical ideas. The opening subject is not so much a single melodic idea as a group of melodic fragments, but unified in their sober character. Comes a brighter musical idea, a chordal passage in the relative key of A flat major. A-flat major yields to an A-flat minor for the third musical idea, which modulates to a wide range of keys. The left hand plays the disjointed melody, jumping back and forth on either side of the steady right hand accompaniment.
The impromptus are also very varied in terms of their demands.
Inan Barnatan.
I mean, there's some of them are the most simple, beautiful song, like the G-flat major that I'll be playing, which is one of his most beautiful song without words.
The program continues with the impromptu in G-flat major, the third of the first set.
I can think of very few pieces that are as touching and heart-wrenching with such simple means. But some of the impromptus are actually virtuosic and really demand much more from the pianist. I really do think of them as bigger songs without words in a way.
Schubert's lied Sei mir gegrüßt, completed in 1822, sets words by the German poet Friedrich Rückert. Alongside Goethe, Heine, and Rilke, Rückert was one of the 19th century's most influential poets among Western composers. In addition to Schubert, his verse has inspired musical settings by Robert and Clara Schumann, Brahms, Wolff, Strauss, Zemlinsky, Bartok, Berg, and others. Two of Gustav Mahler's most famous song cycles set text by Rückert, his Rückertlieder and Kindertotenlieder. Rückert's Sei mir gegrüßt is a love poem brimming with romantic ecstasy.
O you who have been snatched from me and my kiss, I greet you, I kiss you. Reached only by my yearning greetings, you I greet, you I kiss. A breath of love erases space and time. I am with you, you are with me. I hold you in these arms, embracing you. I greet you, I kiss you.
With its winsome piano accompaniment and beguiling melody, Schubert's setting gives voice with uncanny precision to the sentiments expressed in the poem. Schubert composed his C major fantasy for violin and piano in December 1827 for a young Bohemian virtuoso named Josef Slavik, whom he had met the previous year. The work masquerades somewhat as a virtuoso showpiece, intended perhaps to appeal to the Viennese appetite for Paganini's pyrotechnic caprices for solo violin. But while it does indeed require its share of virtuosity, the fantasy's expressive richness betrays it as something more than simply a soloist vehicle. Also, its substantive 25 minutes of music, which speak to a Schubertian quality famously praised by Robert Schumann as heavenly length, likewise place the fantasy in a different class. When Slavik premiered the fantasy in January 1828, one critic observed that the work, quote, occupied rather too much of the time the Viennese are prepared to devote to the pleasures of the mind, end quote. The work begins with a hushed tremolando figure in the piano, from which emerges a long, generous melody in the violin. The violin hangs suspended above the trills and turns of the piano accompaniment, its infinite slowness seemingly belonging to another world. The second movement allegretto takes a more piquant turn, characterized by a mischievous repartee between the violin and piano. The centerpiece of the fantasy is the third movement Andantino, a set of variations on Schubert's lead Sei mir gegrüßt. The particular character of the fantasy's Andantino movement derives from its seeming melodic innocence, combined with the poignancy of Schubert's harmonies. Thank you. Four variations on this vintage Schubertian theme follow, each one illustrating Schubert's melodic inventiveness. Following the gentle fourth variation. The music makes a striking return to the hushed awe of the fantasy's opening. The tension builds to a triumphant new melody, which brings the fantasy to a bright and optimistic conclusion. Schubert's pride in the second of his two magnificent piano trios, the trio in E-flat major, opus 100, is evidenced by his inclusion of it as the centerpiece on a program of his own music on March 26, 1828, commemorating the first anniversary of Beethoven's death. The shadow of Beethoven is significant, not only for his profound influence on Schubert on the whole, but also for his own granite essays in the piano trio genre. Indeed, there may be no higher compliment than Robert Schumann's regard for Schubert's Opus 100 as equal to Beethoven's formidable Ghost and Archduke trios. Moreover, Schumann's reflection on the E-flat trio poetically captures the meteoric luminosity of the end of Schubert's life. Quote, "Some years ago, a trio by Schubert passed across the ordinary musical life of the day like some angry manifestation in the heavens. It was his 100th opus. And shortly afterward, in November 1828, he died." End quote. Schubert completed the second piano trio quickly on the heels of the first, in B-flat major. Michael Steinberg has written that, owing to the chronological proximity of the two trios, quote, "we sometimes think of them as twins, or at least as siblings remarkably alike. But as we get to know them, we are likely to be struck even more by the ways in which they differ, unmistakably Schubertian though both are, and we will find ourselves grateful to have two masterpieces that speak to such different artistic and spiritual hungers within us." End quote. The E-flat trio is a work of majesty and grandeur. One can easily imagine transferring the music contained in this work for violin, cello, and piano to the orchestral forces of a full-scale symphony. In this bold beginning and throughout the first movement, Schubert seems to evoke the spirit of Beethoven, the composer whom he most cherished. Aside from channeling Beethoven's visceral energy, Schubert proves adept at the Beethovenian principle of using modest building blocks to organically create towering structures. Listen, for instance, to this simple melodic gesture, uttered quietly by the cello in response to the valiant opening measures. Thank you. Schubert immediately extends this gesture into a continuation of the movement's opening heroism. Later, Schubert fragments this gesture to propel the music towards a lyrical duet between the violin and cello. The final theme of the exposition presents another reimagining of this gesture. Schubert uses the same melodic shape, but stretches it into a new, languorous musical idea.
The name of the Swedish opera singer and sometime composer Isaac Albert Berg might have been relegated to complete obscurity were it not for Schubert's discovery of his song, The Sun Has Set. Schubert heard Berg's short song at the home of the Fröhlich sisters, close friends and musicians who regularly hosted Schubertiads, and one may presume Schubert was captivated by the tune. He would later base the exceptional slow movement of his piano trio in E-flat on Berg's song, appropriating its sober march-like rhythm, its harmonic profile and melodic features, including an octave descent that figures memorably in the theme of Schubert's own Andante con moto. Though the commonly unbridled scherzo came to replace the refined minuet of the classical period, Schubert's scherzo somewhat retains the minuet's elegance, while also conveying the composer's characteristic Viennese wit. The theme, though well-behaved, is presented playfully in canon, as if Schubert has agreed to play by the rules, but all the while flashes the audience a knowing, mischievous wink. One of the most oft-invoked phrases used when discussing Schubert, and another one courtesy of Schumann, is the idea of the heavenly length of his music.
that is, the profound emotional impact achieved by the music's seemingly infinite nature. The final movement of the E-flat major trio is a case in point. It is a vast creation, even in the abridged revision that Schubert prepared following the work's first performance. The movement comprises two primary musical ideas. First, a gentle tune presented by the piano. And later, a quietly menacing melody, played in quick repeated notes by the violin. Over the course of the finale, Schubert extends each of these themes, developing a thoughtful dialogue between them. The movement is rife with dramatic reimaginings of each theme. Listen in this passage as the opening affable melody turns increasingly ominous. But the finale's most breathtaking moment occurs with the return of the second movement's march melody. With the addition of this new voice to the dialogue between musical characters, Schubert dramatically raises the stakes. This epic movement has many more surprises up its sleeve, including another look back to the march, before finally arriving at a tremendously satisfying conclusion. Audio Notes is authored and produced by Patrick Castillo and narrated by David Finkel, Wu Han, Patrick Castillo, and Rachel Sokolow. Additional mastering is provided by Dahong Situ. Musical excerpts on this disc appear courtesy of the following artists and organizations. Schubert's piano trio in E-flat major is performed by Wu Han, Philip Setzer, and David Finkel. Schubert's impromptus in F minor and G-flat major performed by Maria Joao Piresch, and Zimmer Gegrüßt performed by Dietrich Fischer-Dieskau and Gerald Moore appear courtesy of Deutsche Grammophon. Isaac Albert Berg's The Sun Has Set is performed by Wolfgang Brunner and Werner Bient and appears courtesy of Hofmusik. Mendelssohn's Lieder ohne Worte, performed by Livia Rev, and Franz Liszt's piano transcription of Schubert's Die Forelle, performed by Leslie Howard, appear courtesy of Hyperion Records. Andre Previn's Vocalise, performed by Barbara Bonney, Andre Previn, and Satok Knudsen, appears courtesy of Decca Records. Schubert's An die Musik, performed by Christopher Nomura and Derek Hahn, and C Major Fantasy, performed by Benjamin Bielman and Juho Pohanian. Brahms's two songs for alto, viola, and piano, performed by Sasha Cook, Paul Neubauer, and Gilbert Kalish. John Harbison's November 19, 1828, performed by Gilbert Kalish, Georgia Fusanis, Geraldine Walter, and Carter Bray. And Schumann's Piano Quartet, performed by Gilbert Kalish, Georgia Fusanis, Geraldine Walter, and David Finkel, appear courtesy of Music at Menlo Live. Audio Notes is a copyrighted production of Artist Led.